Galatians chapter 2 in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 15, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter and look at a couple other verses in that area. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 15, the Bible says, "We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if what we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." We'll continue down into chapter 3. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak, for the privileges. And Father, it's a huge responsibility, and I pray that you'd help me. Give me your words. Help what I say to be clear, and just how it's said, and the truths of it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one here, bless their faithfulness to you by coming this morning and giving them, pray that you'd give them what they need for today. Pray that you'd be with Sunday school, be with the main service and the evening service tonight, that what's done would honor and glorify your name. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is one of the most well-known characters throughout the New Testament. He wrote many, many books. And if you were to describe Paul, some would say bold, some could say blunt, some could say dynamic. And he was all those things. There's many interesting things that happened to Paul. He spoke before multitudes of people. He spoke before very powerful people. And he did that boldly. And we'll see some of those different parts of Paul come out in this passage that we're looking at. And just for a little bit of context to what we'll be talking about, we're going to read a few more verses, starting in Galatians 2:11. The Bible says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" And in this story, Peter, these other Jews, and Barnabas have this ministry to these Gentiles, and they have a close relationship with these people. The Bible here says in verse 12 that they did eat with the Gentiles. And that shows the closest. It's not just meeting them at church. It's spending time together, learning and growing with one another. And they have this, but then some people come from James, from a church, and they're here to see what the ministry, they're there to see the report. And Peter, the others, and even Barnabas, they see this and they think about, what are they going to say? What are they going to think of us when they see us associating with the Gentiles? God's people were the Jews, and the Jews had this mentality that they were God's chosen people, and therefore everybody else was sinners. They were lesser. And so, you know, they didn't associate with them. They had that, and you've seen that throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, just that separation there. And Peter and these men, they had this ministry, they had this closeness. But when they saw, when James, those come from James, they separated themselves, they withdrew. And they hurt that relationship they had. And Paul, you see his boldness and his bluntness coming out here in verse 11, it says, when Peter came to Antioch for his report, to give an account, Paul withstands him to the face because he was to be blamed. Peter himself was also a pretty dynamic character. You look at him through the New Testament, he did some pretty big things. He was pretty outspoken. In the garden, when they came to take Jesus, Peter, without asking questions, he pulled out a sword and started swinging. And so Peter, he's in a leadership responsibility here, and he is, Paul comes to him and he singles him out. He doesn't say, Peter, come over here, let's talk about this. Comes, it says, he withstood him to the face right there. It says in verse 14, he says unto Peter, before them all. And he's talking to them about how they've been preaching the gospel. They've been preaching to the Gentiles here. Before the law, before about the law, and now that Jesus Christ had come in fulfillment of God's promise, the law was no longer needed. The law was no longer necessary. And so they're preaching how the Bible says in Romans 1:16, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's to all. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this message that Peter and these others had been bringing to the Gentiles was the message of salvation for all of them. And yet, when the other Jews were come, that sort of changed. There was that the fear of men that Peter and these others had, and even Barnabas, who learned of Paul, was taught by Paul, they withdrew and separated themselves and hurt that their relationship they had. And so here Paul is calling them out, and Paul is challenging them to be steadfast in the gospel, in the truths of the gospel, to not cloud the difference between the old law and the new covenant and the fulfillment of God's promise by sending Jesus Christ. He says in verse 15, or verse 14 and 15, he says to Peter, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. And this is talking about how the Jews, those who didn't believe that Jesus Christ had come, those who were still trying to seek the justification through the law, he's talking about these people. And Peter, he's having this ministry with the Jews, telling them that it's just through faith in Jesus Christ. And he's living with the Jews, the Gentiles, because he has this ministry, not the Jews, but now in his how he's living and the things that he's doing now, he's almost saying, he's preaching one thing and he's practicing another. And he's giving this confusion and these different things. And so Paul, in these next, through the end of the chapter, he basically goes through the plan of salvation, what is salvation, how to receive it, and those different things. And let's look through these different verses and see what Paul says. The Bible says in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And he's saying here, knowing that a man, he's saying, Peter, you know this, we know this, that a man is not justified by doing the Mosaic law, by doing those things. It's being justified by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Paul reminds Peter that they have received the salvation through faith, that they no longer have the need for the Mosaic law. Jesus came as the fulfillment of God's promises. God promised to send a final sacrifice, a spotless lamb. And the Mosaic law is in the Old Testament. It came up and through, and God promised, and he fulfilled that promise. He sent Jesus. And the Bible says here that, you see throughout the passage, the Bible uses the word justified many, many times. Justified means to be declared righteous. And when God sees a person who hasn't accepted the gift of salvation, he sees their sin, and that's where the separation comes from. Our sin is what separates us from God. And God, when he sees someone who has accepted the gift of salvation, he doesn't see their sin. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, and then he was humiliated and bruised and beaten and mocked, and he was lifted up on an old rugged cross, and then he suffered on the cross, and then the Bible says how the sins of the world were put upon him, and Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, and he died. And then he rose again on the third day, but when he died, the veil of the temple was ripped apart, and that was showing, it was signifying and illustrating the moving from the law to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The veil of the temple, it's what showed, it was the separation between God and man. The Holy of Holies was God's presence with the people. And when that split, it was showing that it was open between God and man. And so we see that, you know, Paul is illustrating how it's not by the works of the law. It says in the end of the verse, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And we know that the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so Paul, he's reiterating this, he's saying it again. And then in verse 17, he's talking about, the Bible says, "But if well we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." And then 18 says, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." And here, the sin is referring to a situation where if a person is trying to, has accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, but they're trying to work the law into it, and they can't, that's not how it is anymore, and they can't be justified by the law. And so that can lead to the sin of that. And so they're saying that, Paul is saying that if we are being justified by Christ, we have salvation, yet we're putting works into it, it's almost saying that God's calling us back to the law, and that's not the truth, and that's going to lead to it, because we can't be justified by the law, which will lead to a feeling of guilt, a feeling of sin, which is God being the minister of sin. And he says, "God forbid, that is not the truth, that is not how it is." And then he says in verse 18, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." And he's talking about Paul and these others. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been preaching salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And now that they've allowed the Jews, they've allowed that law to start to seep back in just a little bit. And he's saying they've been trying to refute this. They've been teaching the truth and trying to show them this isn't the truth anymore. This is the Mosaic Law. It's irrelevant now. And now I see him that they're building again, and he says, so for, he's building against the things which they've been working to destroy. He says he's making himself a transgressor. Sorry. And Paul, he's addressing that to the idea, the objection that if Christians, even after they've trusted in Christ and are still found to be sinners and things like that, that Christ's work of justification is somehow flawed or there's something wrong with that. And that's not the case at all. We have a free will, and God came to save us and he loves us, but he gives us the choice to do right or wrong, and that's up to us. And so our choice is not reflective on that. It is our choice to follow God, or it's our choice to not follow God. God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. He gives us his word. He gives us others to help and encourage us. And we can choose to do right, or we can choose to do wrong. The Bible does say, the Bible doesn't promise that the Christian life is going to be easy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. But the Bible does say that, it says, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God, for I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee." The Bible also says that there will be temptations and things. But he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you to be tempted above that which you are able. But also with the temptation, also make a way to escape." And he's saying that there will be things that we have to make a decision in. And the Bible says that we can listen to the Holy Spirit, or we can quench the Holy Spirit. It says to quench not the Holy Spirit, to listen to that, and to have that inside us. We're getting down into verses 19 through the end of the chapter. It says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." In verse 19, it's talking about the death of the old man, the flesh, the person that we were. It's talking about believers have died to the law through Christ, meaning that there's no longer being justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. In the passage, it's talking about how that Christ's death has freed us from the law's condemnation, allowing them a life to accept salvation by faith and to live a life that is pleasing to God. In verse 20, it says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And this is describing the very basis of the Christian life. It's accepting the faith of Jesus Christ and then living our life through his strength, through his power. It's talking about we're crucified with Christ. We're dead to self, the old sinner that we were, the person that we were before, characterized by our sin, by our lack of a Savior, by not having a Savior at all. That's been crucified with Christ, and that new life that we now have that is empowered by the presence of God in our lives, by the Holy Spirit, has begun. This is a new life. It's not one that we can live on our own strength, on our own efforts, but one that says right here, Paul says, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And this is also signifying a believer's identification with Christ on the cross. The old self, the sinful nature, it's considered dead. It's considered powerless. But now we have that new life. Just how the picture of baptism pictures our death and burial, resurrection with Christ, the death to self, and being made new, being made alive again. And then in verse 21, it says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." The word frustrate here means to nullify or to invalidate. And Paul is saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm not invalidating this. I'm not nullifying this. He said, "For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And that's huge. Why, if we could be good enough, if we could do certain things over and over again, why would Christ have to come in the first place? He came because he loved us. He came because we did need a Savior. And these works, the Mosaic Law, these doing these things, the sacrifices over and over again, the sacrifices for the sins that were continually made. And then Jesus came, and he was that final sacrifice, and it was all paid in full. And Paul's saying to not forget the importance of that, the importance of that and the significance of that. And down in chapter 3, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth yet by the works of the law." I'm sorry, by the hearing of faith. And here, a lot of people, if you look at the commentaries and things, think Paul is really angry with the Galatian Christians here in verse 3. And I think that he is probably frustrated, and I think that he does have some anger there, but I think it's also sort of a grievance. Not grieve at that, but just that they've been tricked in a sense, that they've come away from the foundation of simply faith in Christ Jesus being what salvation is through. And he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye shall not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you." And he's saying, he sounds almost saddened, like he's hurting. These are people that Paul's been ministering to, he's ministered to, he's helped bring to Christ. And he's trying to bring them back to the simple truths of the gospel, that it's simply faith in Jesus Christ. There's no works. There's nothing like that at all. And he's encouraging them and challenging them to question it, to think about it. He says, "Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" And then he says, "There's only what I learn. If you receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith." And Paul is saying that even in chapter 2 in verse 15 and 14, 15, he's talking to Peter, and he's talking about how they are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentile. And what he's using that as a picture in these verses here, and he's showing how that even though these people are Jews, they're not the Gentiles, they're not God's chosen people, even the Jews still have to be justified by faith. And it's not the law, it's not the carrying out of those things that is what saves them. And so here Paul, you see his passion for the ministry, his passion for the gospel of Christ, and making it clear, making it simple. And the salvation is something super simple. It's super clear, it's super easy to understand. If you're complicating the gospel, you're completely missing the point. The Bible says that it takes a childlike faith. And a child will hear something and they'll believe it because they're told that. They don't question it. They simply believe. They have that faith. And Paul, he's going through this. He's going through verses 16 and just talking about that. And he says that we are justified by Christ. And now that we're justified by Christ, we have this life with Christ that we're living by his power. There's no works involved in it. Now some might look at this and say that there's works that we need to do, and that's not the case. And some might say that there's nothing that we need to do. And that's true in the sense of there's nothing that we can do to add to our salvation. There's no works involved in our salvation. The Bible talks about in the book of James how the works and the faith and the things like that. And there's a difference between faith that comes as a result of works or works that are a result of your faith. And people who put their faith in their good, that's not the truth. That's not how it works. But God expects certain things of us as Christians, and these are works of faith. And the Bible says in Romans 12:1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service." Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross and he saved us. And he made that sacrifice for us. And the least we can do, all we can do, is live our lives how he wants us to, in service to him and following him and listening to him and allowing him to lead and what he calls us to. Today, I'd just like to look at a couple of points and a couple of different lessons from here. Are we being effective in our ministry? Peter and the others, they had this ministry. And they had this relationship with these people, but they had the fear of man, and they allowed that to come in, and it hurt that relationship, that work they had with those people. And we all have a ministry. God doesn't necessarily call everyone to the ministry of preaching the gospel in the sense of being a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, but we're all called to a ministry in a sense of we're called to take the gospel to every creature. And if you have a family, that is a ministry. If you have your workplace, that's a ministry for you. And are we being effective in our ministry? Are we allowing the fear of man? Sometimes we'll think, what, in this sense, Peter and these others, they were fearing, what will these other Christians think of us when they see how we're associating and working with the Gentiles? But there's also the fear of men in the sense of you go to share the gospel with a person and you think, what is this person going to say? And the Bible doesn't say, go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature that's nice to you. He says, go and share the gospel to every creature. And on visitation this past Thursday, John and I were out, and we met a man who's a Buddhist. And that's It's incredibly sad. If you learn a little bit about that, you'll learn that most people who are Buddhists are born into that. But the majority of people who come to that decision have pretty much tried literally everything else there is. And there's this gentleman who's lost, and he's trying all these different things. And we need to be effective in the different ministry, because there are people who are searching, and we don't need to be afraid of what those people might think, what those people might say, because one day we'll be accountable for those people. God puts the people in our paths, and you know, we might be that person's opportunity to be saved. And I know this is something I'm super guilty of. As I go to work, I go to the store, I go different places, and I see people, and I just see them as another person. But if you really think about it, that's a person who has a soul that's going to spend an eternity somewhere. And I don't know, the Bible does say that we'll be able to know each other in heaven. And I can imagine being in heaven and seeing a person's face that I saw here, and wondering if I was the one person who should have told them, and wondering if God had told me to share with them, but I didn't. Are we being effective in the ministry that God has called us to here? And secondly, are we doing those works of faith and living our lives in a sacrificial, pleasing way to God? Following him, doing what he calls us to. And last, we are holding fast to the simple truth of the gospel. This is what the main point of this passage was. Paul is saying, this isn't complicated. There's no works, it's simply faith. Are you taking the truths of the gospel with you? Are you looking for opportunities to share that? Are you seeking the Lord? Because I guarantee you, if you ask God to lay a soul on your heart and bring someone to you, he will. Are we being effective in our ministry? Are we taking the gospel with us? And are we doing those works of faith and service to God? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and for meeting with us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take the name of Jesus with us wherever we go, that we would always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's within us, Father, that we would be bold like Paul, and not have the fear of men, but knowing that one day we'll stand before you and give an account of how we lived our lives. Please help us to keep the gospel simple and to live our lives in a sacrificial way that's pleasing and honoring to you in all that we do and say. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.